Good morning. Welcome inside out of the wet and dark and cold. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that we have heat this morning, I think kicked on for the first time this year, and glad we have power to use it. If there weren't those things, we could still gather and praise God, but we're glad to be a little more comfortable as we gather and praise God this morning. The things I'll point you to today are that a week from today, the 21st in the evening, there's a lot going on here at the church. Silly is having their Halloween event starting at 6 o'clock, and starting at 7 o'clock, middle and high school youth are having an event here with not just Holly Grove's kids, but the all of the Davidson County Lutheran churches. So hope you'll join us for those events, and if you need details on anything, Tina can give you more about Silly, and you can ask me about the middle and high school stuff. Want to point out to you also that our finance committee worked through a couple weeks ago a draft of the budget for next year for the church, and the council meeting last week made a few minor changes and approved that draft of the budget, and that is available back in the narthex if you're interested in checking out what is proposed for 2019. The congregational meeting for that will be the 18th of November, so put that on your calendars, but want you to know that information is available out there. Are there other announcements? Obviously check what's in the bulletin, but are there other things that we should make mention of? Tina? Thank you. I know we've got some prayer shawls this morning.
So this first one is for Latifah's cousin, Tyler Whitley. He was involved in an accident. He has numerous injuries, including brain injuries, so he needs our prayers. And then this is for Matthew Leo, that it's Ty's friend. His grandfather passed away, and Ty requested a prayer shawl for his friend.
This prayer shawl is for a really good friend of ours. He was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, and that diagnosis has been very devastating to him. So we need to send him our prayers so that he can make it through.
We wish happy birthday this week to Dean, Tammy, Keith, Carrie, Logan, Teresa, and Melissa. And happy anniversary to Greg and Gyla, Dean and Tony, and Robert and Mandy. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Oh, we got another. You've got an anniversary this week too. Okay, wonderful. Oh, that's right, because we've got flowers up here for you. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Happy anniversary. Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin our worship on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, as I
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead, we may follow the way of your commandments and receive the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up this way for the children's message. Good morning. How is everybody? Good. Does everybody have power at their house?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. That's wonderful. Yeah, did anybody lose power at their house? That's hard, wasn't it? Yeah. Your power's back on. That's good. I'm so glad. I should not have asked this question if I wanted to talk about other things, should I? This was a very interesting thing that happened, so it's okay to be interested in talking about it. They were all talking about it this morning, too, so they can be patient with us as we move to what we're talking about, which is this. So I think some of you know, does everybody know what this is? You guys seen these before? Okay, you're telling me what it's used for, right? What do we use a knife for? to cut things. And I brought this one because this one is not very, it's not very sharp, and so if I dropped it, it wouldn't hurt anybody or anything like that. But use knives to cut, that's exactly right. Let me ask you this question. Are knives good or are knives bad?
Bad. Good or bad?
Oh, good or bad. Oh, okay. So it depends, is what you're telling me. Knives are really good, like if what you need to do is if you're careful and you use it the right way and you use it to cut your food, that can be really good, right? If you've got a piece of meat that you're trying to eat, a knife is a really good thing to have, right? But sometimes knives are sharp, and I've done this. I don't think I have any scars that I can show you from it, but even if you're careful, sometimes knives can cut you, right? So knives can also do some bad things.
Like you might trip and it might fall out of your hands.
You could fall and do all sorts of things. So knives then aren't really good or bad. It just depends on how you're using them. Is that right? Okay, interesting. Let's put that there. I got something else this morning I think you're going to recognize. A fork? Probably not in my pocket. What do I got in here? Oh, money. Yeah, I got some quarters in here.
I got money in the car.
Tell me about this. What do you do with this?
You spend it for the stuff you need.
You pay for things with it. Yeah, okay. Okay, you get what you need to buy. So I'll ask you the same question I asked you with the knife. Is this stuff good or bad?
Good?
Yeah. Sometimes money can give you splinters. I've never had that problem, but I do think that money is like a knife. Money can be good, and money can be bad. Sometimes we waste it. Sometimes we don't use it well. Sometimes we get greedy with it and we just want more and more and more, and that's not good for us. Jesus talks about money in our gospel lesson today, and Jesus actually talks about money a whole lot. And Jesus warns us that money can be bad for us sometimes. If it distracts us from God and from other people, then money is not good for us, okay? So one of the things that we do with money as people who follow God is we do like Jesus tells a man to do in our reading today. He says sometimes we should be giving money away. Have you guys ever done that before?
Yes.
You have? What is that like? Sometimes you could help other people with it, yeah? Sometimes it's sad because we're really attached to our money. Maybe if it's sad, that means we especially need to give some away.
We're happy
so if you help them, you might feel happy too. Yeah, okay, Conrad, what were you wanting to say? Okay. Yeah. One of the things that we do at church, we do something with money at church every week. Do you guys know what it is? What is it, Gracie?
Offering.
The offering. Yeah. We get those plates back there. Do you guys know those plates, those special deep plates we have? And we pass those around, and you know what people do? They put money in. Yeah, they put money in there. Sometimes it's in an envelope, so you might not always know that's what's happening. But we put money in there because it matters how we use our money. Just like a knife, you can use money for good or you can use money in ways that are not healthy and not helpful and that are bad. Jesus wants us to use our money for the good of all people, and Jesus calls us to give money away sometimes so that we can help people in need and so that we can be closer to God. Saving money for a house is a good thing to do if your family needs a place to live. And we have to figure out how money is complicated. It's really complicated. And we have to figure out how God is calling us to use our money to take care of the people that we care about, but also to take care of people we might not even know who are in need. One of the ways that I hope you guys can get in a habit, like some of the people out here are in a habit of doing, is giving away money too. Jesus calls us to give money away. So if you don't already do this, it might be a good idea to talk to your parents about putting some money in the offering plate every week when the offering plate comes by to help get us in the habit of giving some money away. Some of you already do that, I know. I'm going to help get you started, and I'm going to give everyone a quarter today, and I want you guys to hold on to that and put it in the offering plate. Who doesn't have pockets? Is this going to be hard?
I do.
You do? All right, great. If you don't have pockets, you could give this to your parent to help hold on to until it's offering time. But I want to give everybody a quarter. If you got a pocket, you can put it in. What are you going to do with this quarter? Put it in the offering plate. Yeah, wonderful. That would be great. Well, if you have other money you want to put in, you can put that other money in the offering plate too. I pulled out the exact right number of quarters. That's amazing. But we give money away to help us remember people who don't have what they need and to help them get what they need and also to help for the ministry of this church and the kingdom of God. Jesus calls us to give money away, and it's hard always to know exactly what we need to do. So this is a conversation you can keep having with your family, but I hope you guys will get in the habit of putting something in the offering plate. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord God, everything we have comes from you. Help us to use all we have to serve you. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up here. Hold on to those quarters. Don't lose them because we're going to put them in the offering plate. If you need help holding on to them, you can see your parents and they can help you. And I think we'll line up at the door over here and head toward Children's Church.
The 21st Sunday after Pentecost, a reading from Amos. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the ones who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the ones who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silence in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 90. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? How compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Amen.
glad days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. A reading from Hebrews. Indeed, the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and lay bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So one preacher I know talks about spirituality, the concept. What is spirituality? This preacher talks about spirituality as paying attention to what God is doing in the world and how we can be a part of it. That's spirituality. So put that idea about spirituality as paying attention to God on the back burner for a moment, and let's talk about this encounter Jesus has with this man around possessions and the kingdom of God. Now, when the man first asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus gives him the pretty standard boilerplate response. These are the things pretty much any rabbi would say. It pulls straight from Hebrew scripture. You shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. And this guy says, great, I've done all those things, so I guess I'm good to go. But Jesus has more to say. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Then come, follow me. And the man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This man wasn't killing anybody. He wasn't running around on his wife. He wasn't sneaking around stealing from the family next door. So he thought he's already doing everything that God wanted, but not to hear Jesus tell it, right? And boy, what Jesus tells him is hard to hear, isn't it? It's hard for me because we're pretty decent folks too. We pretty much follow the rules, don't we? Do you suppose that God wants more from us too? The thing is, at Mount Sinai, God gives the people the Ten Commandments for their own good, right? For our own good. But just keeping the Ten Commandments to the letter, well, it actually doesn't cut it. Because as I've said to you many times, and I will keep saying over and over, God wants better for us than this world of sin and death. And the Ten Commandments, if we follow them perfectly, yes, they will keep us out of a whole lot of trouble, but they can't bring the abundant life that God intends for all of creation. Because if you're starving, the fact that I'm not coveting your wife or bearing false witness against you really doesn't help you with the whole starving thing, does it? Even if I keep the commandments, you're still starving. And obviously that's not good for you, but it's not good for me either. The whole community is worse for the fact that you're not able to participate in it fully because you don't have what you need to survive. So Jesus here holds this man to the standard of not just what can I get away with, but to the higher standard of what is the good that God intends for the world, which in this case is go, sell what you have, give the money to the poor, and come follow me. Sisters and brothers, God's claim is on our whole lives. It's not just about how we spend our Sunday mornings or who we're sleeping next to at night. God's claim is on all of it. All that we are, all that we have, our very existence, it comes from God. And so God's call is for us to use all of it for the sake of God's kingdom. The conversation that the disciples have privately with Jesus after this peace with the man is over, well, it acknowledges that to follow God in all-in ways can be rough on us. Followers of Jesus stand to lose relationships, property, even homes for the sake of the gospel. But, Jesus says, they stand to gain more. We stand to gain more when we follow Jesus. Eternal life, that sounds pretty good, right? Probably can't value that too highly. But also, the good that God intends for us in the here and the now, in this life and in this time. And we don't gain any of this on our own, surely. As the disciples question Jesus, he says, you know what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And basically, Jesus comes right out and says it. We cannot be saved by our own merits, right? It's impossible for that camel to go through the eye of the needle. For us to be saved by our own merits, it's impossible. But not for God, right? For mortals, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. And that's powerfully good news. The one who can save you is the God who also loves you. That's tremendously hopeful. It means that we're in the best possible hands here, with God being the one in control of our salvation and not us. But if we're going to lean into that good kingdom that God desires for us, if we're going to be part of it in the here and the now, then there's also no getting around the fact that it matters how we use our money and our possessions in the here and the now. God calls us to use them for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of those in need, for the poor. Anybody get here in a vehicle this morning? I did. Anybody come from a safe place to sleep last night? That's me. Anybody have something to eat this morning if you want it, or anybody heading toward a meal when you leave here? If so, we are the rich man. And what God tells him, I don't think we can be off the hook for. Go sell what you have, give the money to the poor, come follow me. It's uncomfortable, right? But Jesus' claim is on our whole lives. We talked about spirituality as paying attention to what God is doing and how we can be part of that. Well, I think stewardship is about paying attention to. It's about paying attention to what we have and how we use it. I'm not asking you to sell your house this week and sleep in the street. Jesus might be, so you'll have to make peace with Jesus on that. Don't come after me. But what I do ask is that you move the needle on how much you're paying attention to what you have and how you're using it for the sake of the goodness of God's kingdom. What I challenge you to do is take a good look at where you are, an intentional look, an on-purpose look, assess it, and then do something to be more intentional with your habits around things like spending. Make a plan for how you can better use the resources God has entrusted to you for the good of God's kingdom. So, yes, please look at your giving to the church with your family and ask if that is in line with your priorities, if where you are now is in line with those priorities. And if not, make a plan to do better, right? One of the ways we're trying to make that easier on you is by enabling things like online giving through our website and text giving. There are details about that on the back of the bulletin for about the last 6 weeks or so. And we've had several folks go that route because I think some folks find it helpful to be able to set up recurring gifts so that that way they're doing their giving on purpose, right? Not just when they happen to be here or when they happen to carry cash in their wallets. That recurring gift option gives you a way to do what you intend to do on purpose and not sort of stumble in whatever happens to work out that day. But giving is not just about this congregation, right? You may be where you need to be on giving here, and if so, God bless you, thank you. That is wonderful. But where else do you need to move the needle? One way I've been convinced my family can do a better job, and you've heard me talk about this maybe, is with cultural assumptions about holidays, particularly about Christmas. I mean, what if we all honored the coming of God with us by doing something to care for others instead of using it as an excuse to get the new gadget we've been eyeing, right? To me, that's a place where I could move the needle in my life. And if this is a direction you're interested in going, you better start planning now for this year, or maybe now for next year, because it will take some work, right, to change this expectation. We'll have some resources around this as we get closer to the holidays, so watch for that. Maybe you need to move the needle to pay more attention on how you use your time in love and service to God. Maybe you need to look at how you might more intentionally be in contact with and care for the poor. I don't know, frankly, where many of you are on these things. The only way you can know is if you don't sort of make it up as you go along, but you take an intentional, on purpose look at these areas, look at your life on purpose, and ask the question, ideally together with people you care about, and say, what are we doing to use the gifts God has entrusted to us faithfully for God's kingdom? Are we where we want to be? And if the answer is no, or I'm not sure, then make a plan, right? This is what you can do. Make a plan, move the needle, do it on purpose. Yes, the only way we come to the kingdom of God is through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, for whom all things are possible. We are totally and completely dependent on this. But it's also true that the God who created us and cares for us wants better for us, not just in the life eternal, but wants better for us where we are. So God tells us what to do with what we have to reach that better now. It sounds like this from Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Give money to the poor. Come follow me. So take a look at your spending habits. Take a look at your bank accounts, your use of time, your talents. How do they line up with God's call? Assess where you are, make a plan, move the needle. Pay attention. Amen.
Take my life and I will
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us. We pray persistently for the church, the world, and all people in need. Almighty God, holy and righteous, cut our hearts open by your living word. Break down our pride and self-assurance, and transform us by your gentle mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God bless workers who clear fields to prepare for the barren season to come. Bring the harvest of your creation to completion, even as we look forward to the blossoming of new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, exercise and establish your true justice in courtrooms, prisons, and in neighborhoods. Guide us who manage time, money, and possessions to do so with generosity and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, pour out favor this day upon those who are afflicted and feel far removed from you. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, the family of Betty, Lydia, John, Wilson, Ann, Jean, Billy, Gracie, Chuck, Daryl, Wayne, Judy, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, the family of Roy, Tyler, Robin, Dean, Melanie, Matthew, Tyler, Gil, and all those we name now. Send them companions, Lord, who will show them you are ever near. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, bring relief to all who suffer in the wake of large storms, and sustain those who care for others and work to rebuild. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Enfold all things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Christ's peace, Rosalie. Are you going to get the plates for us? Thank you. Christ's peace.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you have made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith. Increase our hope. Deepen our love. For the sake of a world in need, faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say our mission statement on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance
I also want to remind Agape friends that we do meet tomorrow evening at the office complex at 6:30, and all ladies are invited. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thank you.